If you will, I ask you to turn with me to the first psalm. The first psalm, pretty much the middle of your Bible. I want to read the first three verses. That's just a short psalm, but I really want to read just the first three verses, and particularly verse 3 is the passage that I want us to think about this morning. Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we bow before you this morning, and Lord, we have to confess to you that there are so many things in life that happens that our minds cannot begin to comprehend. They're overwhelming to us. And yet, Lord, even in those times, you've promised your strength, your grace, your mercy to be sufficient for every need. And though, Lord, we may think we're acting on automatic impulse, the truth of the matter is you have us by the hand all the way, and you're guiding every step according to your purpose and your will. So, Lord, this morning as we look at these passages of Scripture, would you enable us to be able to just to soak in what you say to us in these verses. And, Lord, help us to draw from that strength each day that we live. I ask for preaching grace that I might speak your word simply, sincerely, in such a manner that is easy to take in and yet strong in its application. In Christ's name I pray this morning, and amen. The tree by the water. We sing that song. I really wanted to sing it this morning, but it's not in our book. It's not in the new book. Just like a tree planted by the water, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. I'm going to start singing. No, I won't. But we're planted. We're planted. And I want us to think about that. That's the ultimate thought that I want us to have. But how is it that when we're planted that God then allows His strength, His grace, His mercy to come into our lives in such a way that we can absorb it and use it in our everyday life? Well, in I want to look at verse 2 for just a few moments before that we get to verse 3 concerning the delight, that our delight should be in the law of the Lord, and His law doth He meditate day and night. You know, when I first read that many years ago and throughout the Scripture where it talks about the law of the Lord, the Word of God, that you're to meditate upon it day and night, day and night, day and night, I'm thinking, I'm not smart enough to be able to do that, that constantly the Word of God is just filtering through my mind. I'm not that smart, but that's not what He's saying. He's not saying that it's a 24-hour-a-day process, but well, it is a process. We'll look at that. But it's a 24-hour-a-day in that no matter whether it's day or night, whether it's sunlight or rainy, whether it's light or dark, whatever it is that's going on in our life, that we can meditate upon the Word of God at that moment, and God has a way in which that He gives us the strength that we need to get through each situation and each circumstance. Have you ever been at a point in life where that something is troubling you, you're struggling with it, and all of a sudden a verse of Scripture comes to your mind? And you know that verse, that God is speaking to you through that passage of Scripture. It's happened to me more than once. And I remember early on, I had just really started trying to study the Word of God. There was a verse of Scripture that came to me, and I didn't know where it was at. But I knew it was the Word of God, and I knew it was God speaking to me at that moment. Stand still. Fear not. The battle's not yours, it's God's. He's going to fight the battle for you. And I was at work when that hit me, and I went home, and I had to get the concordance to find out if it was in the Bible, where it was in the Bible, and what was taking place. Well, it was when God parted the waters and made a way for Israel to get through. God does that for us. But here He says that His delight is in the law, and in His law doth He meditate. What does it mean to meditate upon the Word of God? First of all, I want to tell you what it is not. We see these pictures on television of people meditating, and they're in all kinds of positions that if I tried to get in that position, you'd have to call some kind of a crowbar or something to get me out of it. But they're in this position, and they're humming and going on. That's not what meditating upon the Word of God is about. Meditating upon the Word of God is that you take it in and you think upon it, and let me just share some thoughts with you. Okay, to meditate. When the shepherds came to Mary the night that Jesus was born, and they began to share with her all of those things that they had seen, the angel making that declaration, the angels, the host of angels, singing praises to God. And they were telling Mary all about that was going on, about this baby that was hers. And it says that Mary kept all of these things and pondered them in her heart. Have you ever pondered about something? We don't use that word a whole lot. I don't anyway. I'm just sitting, but I do sit and ponder a lot, don't you? I catch myself pondering. I like that word, and that's my new favorite word for the day. I ponder a lot. And so here, Mary is pondering these things. And throughout the life of Jesus, Mary had to go back and ponder on those things over and over and over again. When Jesus was 40 days old and He was taken to the temple, and there He was going to be dedicated unto the Lord, and Simeon, the man that was there, came and took Jesus in his arms, and he lifted up his eyes into heaven and said, "Lord, you can just take me on home now, because mine eyes have seen that which you promised. Mine eyes have seen your salvation." And Mary, I think, pondered those things in her heart, what the angel had said to her whenever he said that she was going to bear the Son of God. When he was 12 years old, and they'd taken him to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. After 3 days, they were going back home and realized Jesus wasn't with them. Where was Jesus? Can you imagine in our day and time what would happen? Where was Jesus? So they started going around to all the family. Have you seen Jesus? Is He with you? Is He traveling with you? No, we haven't seen Jesus in 3 days. So they turned around. They went back to Jerusalem, and they went into the temple. And there, when they went into the temple, what did they find? Jesus sitting there talking with the elders and with the priests of the temple. And we're told that the priests were astonished at Jesus, of His wisdom and His understanding of what was taking place. And I believe at that point Mary stopped and pondered all of those things that the angel had told her, that the shepherds had told her, that the three wise men, or we say three, we don't have many there were, we assume there was three because of three gifts, that the wise men had said to her, that Simeon had said to her, that the priest had said to her. She was pondering it. Now, what does it mean to meditate and to ponder? Well, you know me and my word definitions. I look it up. What does it mean? Regurgitate. What happens when... Well, let me put it this way. What happens when a cow regurgitates? Cow has the ability to chew, to swallow. And at some point, I'm going to try not to be too crude about this, but at some point, able to bring it up again and vote on it all over again. Let's bring it up and vote again. They bring it up, and the cow is able to continue to chew and get more nourishment out of that has already gone into their bellies. Are you getting an idea now of where we're going with the Word of God? We're to ponder, we're to meditate, we're to ponder. We're to regurgitate the Word of God. We're to bring it up again and to think upon those things. What is it that God said in a situation similar to this? What is it that God would have us understand about this? What is God saying to me right now out of His Word that I can just think upon those things? And as God brings it again, remember when Jesus was, the night He was betrayed, He was talking to His disciples about the Holy Spirit that was to come, and said, when He's come, He will bring to your remembrance those things that I have said to you. That's what happened to me when I told you about the verse of Scripture. And I'm sure it's happened to every one of us that at some point the Lord has spoken to our hearts and spoken to our minds and given us a peace. Paul says it's a peace that passes all understanding. And when that happens, it is a delightful thing. That's another word that I don't use very often. But it says, He shall delight. His delight is in the law of the Lord. It's a delightful thing when God reminds you, this is what I say. This is how that I act in these situations. This is what I have done. This is what I will do for you just now. And this is what I'll do for you in the future. So the Word of God, we take it in. It's a wonderful thing to just go through and read the Bible. You know, I'm asked, well, what's the best way to read the Bible? There's not a bad way. Just pick it up and start reading it. And you'll see that God will begin to speak to you as you're reading from the Word of God. So as we're reading it, it's one thing to read it. It's a blessing to read it. But there's a greater blessing when we take that and bring it up again and think upon it. Now, what did God say? What did God say? I remember a situation where that I had two men that at the same time they felt the call to preach, and when they came to me and I started using them to introduce the service, that's what we would call it, you know, introduce, to come up and they'd read the Scripture and have prayer at the very beginning. I said, now I'm going to give you 5 minutes, and it wasn't because I was trying to be just selfish with the time. I said, but what I want you to do is I want you to study and to meditate and read and come up with one thought that you have out of however many passages of Scripture that you want to read. Get one main thought and share that with us. And so when you read the Word of God and something strikes you while you're reading it, if you could see my Bible, especially this one, there's not hardly any pages that aren't underlined. And I know a lot of people don't want to mark your Bibles, and that's fine. But I need the help. I need to be able to go back and say, that meant something to me when I read that. And so I'll read it again. I'm pondering it. And I'm regurgitating it. I'm bringing it up and getting some more good out of it. And swallowing it down again. So there's a delight in being able to do that. Now, what happens in our lives when we do that? What happens to us as children of God? What happens to us when we take in the Word of God and we meditate and we think about it and we bring it up and we just keep going over and over and over and getting strengthened by it? He says, this is what happens. You'll be just like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. You know, there can be a drought in all the other areas of the land, but where the river flows through, you'll find green grass. You'll find fertile soil. You'll find that which is absolute, the very best thing that you can that you can grow and provide crops out of. I've shared this so many times, and if I've shared it with you before, just count it up to old age and just number it. It's number 3, okay? Number 3. When we were in Missouri, the church set up on a hill overlooking a valley where the Missouri River flowed through. And the farmers, they loved that land because about every 5 years, it was going to flood. But when it flooded, it brought all of the silt, all of the good that had settled into the river, it brought it out and deposited in that valley. So they figured if they could get 4 out of 5 good crops, it was worth it to lose that 5th crop. So this is what I had in my mind when I read this. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, rivers of water, rivers of water. And I'm thinking about the Flint River. I'm thinking about the Chattahoochee River. I'm thinking about the Tennessee River. I'm thinking about those big flowing rivers that you see the willow trees, and they're green and they're providing all sorts of things for that. But here I go with my word meaning again. And I'll be honest with you, I don't want to get away from it. But all of a sudden, the Lord directs my mind to that word rivers. He should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. So, I get my concordance out. My trusty concordance. And I look up the word rivers. What does it mean? And the meaning, the original Hebrew meaning for rivers there, I won't even try to pronounce the word, but the meaning is rill, R-I-L-L. I've never heard that word before. I don't know what a rill is. So I get my English dictionary out. What is a rill? And a rill is a very small channel of water. A very small channel of water. And this morning, as I was thinking about that, I remembered a few times when we lived in Missouri, and I'd be coming back this way. I would take a turn at St. Louis and come down to Memphis and through Mississippi to Birmingham and that way. But when you get down to that part just across from Memphis in Arkansas, they grow rice there. And I would notice as I would be driving by through on the interstate, I would see these fields of rice, and I would see these channels of irrigation of water that had been dug right through the fields. So that when they flooded those and the water would flow, it would feed the fields from both sides. It wouldn't wash them away. It would provide them with just the right amount of water for them to grow. So I'm thinking about this. I'm thinking about, okay, it's not a river as I'm thinking of the Flint River. It's not a river. I'm thinking it's just a small channel of water. And I'm thinking, but why is it not a river? Well, yesterday we took Sarah's dog Reese down to Squirrel's Bluff. And we're down there, and there's this tree, and it's right by the river. And where the river has flooded, the roots are exposed. They're still in the ground. They're still in the ground. They're still drawing nutrient, but the roots are exposed where, because of the force of the water, exposed the roots. I'm so thankful that God understands my makeup, what I am made of, that He knows just the right amount to give me at just the right time. He doesn't flood me. He feeds me. He doesn't wash me away in the current. He builds me up. And He says, this is what happens when we're like that man that's meditating upon the law of the Lord. We're taking it in. We're bringing it back up. We're thinking about it. We're seeing how it applies to our lives. And the whole time, we don't even realize it, but we're drawing from the Word. We're drawing. It becomes a part of us. Just like that water from that rill, that small channel of water. Think about this tree. It said it should be like a tree planted. A tree planted. Who does the planting? And I know we've all studied about Johnny Appleseed in our grade school history, how that he went across the land planting apple seeds, and orchards are still growing where that he planted them. But in this situation, who planted this tree? Who put this tree beside the water? God did. Can I tell you that you are the planting of the Lord? God has planted you, and He's planted you exactly where you are for a purpose and for a reason. You are the planting. That's what He tells us in Isaiah, I believe it's in chapter 61, that we are trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Okay, then I start thinking about this planting, this process of planting. And I guess that's where my mind went to Johnny Appleseed, because I understand he planted seeds. But what happens when you plant a seed? You put it in the ground, right? It's proper ground. It's in good ground. And there's a process that takes place. I don't know about you. Processes get me. I want instant results. But there's a process that takes place. And that process sometimes can be overnight. And sometimes that process can take a period of time to take place. But there is a process. And the first thing that has to happen is that the hull of that seed has to fall away. Right? Because the life is inside the seed. And when that hull falls away, then the next thing that takes place is it starts laying down roots. It doesn't spring up before it puts the roots down. If it does spring up before it puts the roots down, how long do you think it'll last? Think about the parable that Jesus talked about, the seed that fell on the stony ground. It came up real quick, didn't it? But what happened? It didn't last. Okay, now that's a different message, and I'll say right now, I think they're all children of God now, and I'll come back to my message for today. But sometimes we get so caught up. We get so carried away. I'm just going to say this. I have seen in my ministry people that came into the church and were absolutely on fire for the Lord. They couldn't do enough until something happened that they didn't plan for. Until something happened that they weren't ready for, that they weren't prepared for. And the next thing you know, you didn't see them anymore. So God knows what the situation in our life is, and He knows the process that is necessary for us to have proper growth in our life, proper spiritual growth. And the first thing is, you put down roots. There was a time when Hezekiah was king of Judah, and the Assyrian army was coming, and they were threatening Jerusalem. And it was understood, God had already told them, you're going to be carried away. But He let Hezekiah know that there would be a remnant. There would be a portion of the people that would be spared, that would escape. And He said, those people, the very wording is, they shall take root downward and bear fruit upward. There's a process. That rooting must take place. It must take place. Now, I learned something yesterday while we were at Spruce Bluff. And that is, in the forest, the roots of the trees feed each other. I didn't know that. But they feed each other. And you think about it. Have you ever gone in the woods, dug up a tree, took it home and planted it, and it just didn't prosper? Something was missing. An ember of coal, and this is not original with me. If you do Facebook, you've seen this. The ember of coal that is removed from the fire. How long does it last before the fire goes out? I'm going to tell you something. The reason that I'm talking about being strong in the Lord is the church is under fire. The church is being attacked. There is a concerted effort to try to separate God's people. You may think I'm crazy for saying that. You may just have to think that. But there is a concerted effort that they are attacking the Church of Jesus Christ, trying to get us separated from one another. And do you know what? It's working in them. But what happens when you pull it apart? I've already shared with you that those first 3 months when we were at Brooklyn and we weren't meeting at all, I could feel the coldness coming on me. I'm honest with you. I could feel that it'll be all right to do it by Facebook. I'll still be getting the message out. But can we all agree this morning, there's something about being in the house of God. There's something about being together that we feed off of each other. We feed from the Word of God, yes, but we feed from each other. I need you. And I'm not trying to be conceited in saying you need me. Not because of that I stand here and try to preach the Word to you, but there's something about us feeding off of one another. And so we, as the church, we have to be strong. But I'm not strong. So where does our strength come from? He says you'll be like a tree planted by the water. Who's the water? Jesus Christ. He said, I am the living water. And so we draw from Him and we draw from the root system from each other. So that seed, it takes root down. And then it starts to spring up. And when it springs up, the first thing it's got to do is it's got to break through the soil. That can't be an easy process, can it? I remember as a little boy going out early in the mornings, and there would be these things that they looked like beans. I don't know what they were. There's probably some kind of weed, but it looked like a bean. And I'm thinking, sometimes I'd go out and there would be a little clump of dirt right on top of that leaf. And I'm thinking, how did you come through all of that dirt? How did you spring up through that dirt from a seed down below? Well, it's the power of God that enables us to overcome. Because what I've got to break through is Steve. I've got to get past Steve. I've got to get past this flesh. I've got to get past this natural mind and this natural way of thinking of things. But he says if we take root downward in Christ, then we will spring up and we will bear fruit. So it breaks through the earth. It breaks through the flesh. Got to get beyond the flesh, beyond the thought of saying, well, you know, I'm doing pretty good the way that I am. No, I'm not doing pretty good. You know, that's a teaching from the 60s. I'm okay and you're okay. But we're not okay. Not without Christ. Only in Christ can I say that I'm okay. I'm better than okay. I'm blessed in Jesus Christ. So we're springing up. And we then begin to get strength. But the whole time, where's the strength coming from? It's coming from the water, through the soil, through the roots, up through the what will become the trunk of the tree, out through the branches, into the leaves, and then to the part that begins the fruit. But it all starts in the water. It all starts with the Lord. I can't bear fruit without the Lord. I can't do anything without the Lord. But when I do meditate upon His Word and lean upon Him and ask Him for help, He says, you'll be like a tree and you'll bear fruit in season. Every season, you will find fruit in this area in this season of the year, right? I don't think. I don't see any. I don't even hardly see leaves unless it's the evergreen type leaves. You won't find fruit. There is a season to bear fruit. There's a season in our lives to bear fruit. And there's seasons in my life that if you look at me, you say, well, there's nothing there. But even in those times right now, though, I go back to Brother Jacob's prayer. Thank you so much for your prayer today. The rain. You see, right now the rain is still serving a purpose. I hear it dripping out there in the gutters, and I'm thinking it's a yucky day, but it's not a yucky day. It's a good day in the Lord, isn't it? Because He's providing everything that those trees need. That in a few months, we'll see them begin to spring forth again, and you'll see the leaves begin to come out, and you'll see the little buds becoming on the tree, and you'll see the fruit beginning to form on the tree. Why? Because in the process of time, God calls on you and me to go through these processes. And sometimes we're in the winter seasons of life, and it's no fun. It's no fun at all. But joy comes in the morning, and fruit comes in the spring. There's a winter now, but I'm telling you, there's a springtime coming. So right now, let us draw. Let us draw from that. It shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water of life. There's one more verse that I just got to share with you. It's Revelation 22 and verse 1. You know, everybody, when you think about Revelation, say, oh, he's going to talk about heaven. No, I'm not. I'm going to talk about right now. Revelation 22 and verse 1. It's the last chapter of the Bible. Now, he showed me. This morning I pray that God has showed every single one of us what He's going to show right here in this verse. And He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal. I've said in the last few years to myself, if I were ever to be called upon to constitute a new church, that church would be called Crystal River. It'd be Crystal River Church. Shall be a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Can I tell you this morning, that water is available to us right now at this very moment. This very moment. And I always hate to say this because sometimes it doesn't always happen, but Lord willing, next week I'm going to try to preach on Revelation 22:17. I'll just give you a heads up. But He showed me. Right now He's showing us this pure river of water of life. It's clear as crystal. You can just put your face down in and start drinking it up. Drinking it up. Soaking it in. And then another place He says, coming from the throne of God. And another place He says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might find mercy and grace to help in time of need. You know, the advertisement for Coca-Cola, I guess it still is, but the real thing, can I tell you, it's not. It just makes you thirstier and thirstier and thirstier. This right here is the real thing. Are you thirsty? I hope you are. I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty for this kind of water. But more than that, I'm thirsty for that water of life. That water of life that just renews, refreshes, upbuilds, and gives us power for fruit. May we pray.